Then a voice came to him which said, Elijah, what are you doing here? I speak to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. If there was one idiom, phrase, or saying that we could use to describe today's society and how we live, I think a good one would be, fake it until you make it. After all, everything in our society is about show, smoke, and mirrors. What do I mean by this? You have to be happy, and you better not show anyone if you are sad. You have to be successful at work and at home, and if you are not, do not let anyone find out about it. You have to have perfect children, the perfect marriage, the perfect job, and the perfect house. And if you don't or can't have these things, the message that our society feeds to us in a number of ways is make sure you fake it until you can indeed have these things. In the last number of years, this problem of faking it has become worse in our society because of social media. People can use the internet to live almost a fake life or create their own virtual reality, which in many cases is quite different from their lived reality. So one problem in our society that we have is that people believe they must live to a certain standard of life in a certain way, and if they can't attain to it, if the standard can't be achieved, they should fake it until they make it. So we have the fakers, but there is another group of people in today's modern society, and we might call this group of people the pretenders. This group of people are those people who have good jobs, have perfect kids and families, have nice houses and drive nice cars, but for one reason or another, they are simply unhappy. They just seem to be utterly and completely lost. We can see this in all sorts of indicators. One would be the rise of mental illness. Another one would be the rise of functioning alcoholics. As my generation gets older and enters the job market, gets married and has kids, the number of people who are dependent on alcohol or some other drug or ritual to make it through the day is going up. In fact, it is skyrocketing. And no one knows about this because these people go into work the next day and appear to live completely normal lives. So we have these two groups of people, the pretenders, who pretend to have it all together, but in the reality, they are really unhappy and are lost. Excuse me, my allergies are acting up all of a sudden. So why am I talking about these two groups of people? It is certainly not to pass judgment, and I think we can all identify with one group or another in some way, or have people very close to us who fit in one group or another. But what do these two groups of people have in common? They are lost. They are searching for something. They are in the wilderness. They have in common what we all have in common as human beings. They are searching after something larger than themselves. They are in search of God, whether they know it or not. As our psalm says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after God. Today in our reading from 1 Kings, we encounter the prophet Elijah. Now things for Elijah have been going very well, and he's very successful. Elijah was one of God's most successful prophets who comes to the people of Israel because they have turned away from God and started to worship false idols. And through the book of 1 Kings, we see how Elijah is able to turn this around. He is able to defeat other prophets of the false gods and show the people of Israel that there is one true God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who they worshipped for thousands of years. So if you were to apply today's standards to Elijah, he would be very successful. But something is going on. Although he is successful and has done great things, he is totally and utterly lost. He cannot find God. The text tells us that Elijah, who is fleeing for his life because he defeats the false prophets and shows that their God is false, goes into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he sits under a tree, and things get so bad, he simply asks God if he might just die. And he is not just in any wilderness, but he's in the wilderness of Sinai, that famous one the Israelites wandered around for 40 years, where they were lost without God, just like Elijah. When the wilderness comes up in the biblical text, it can mean many different things. First, it is the place where the lost go, The Israelites in their tradition believed that the wilderness was the place where demons and spirits dwelled. Hence, in our gospel, we see the man possessed by demons living in the wilderness. The wilderness was also the place where one went to find God, the place where one would wrestle with God until they came to some sort of revelation. We can think of Jesus going into the wilderness for 40 days before he begins his ministry. So here we are. Elijah is in the wilderness, like many people in today's society, searching after God, whether they know it or not. And after a while, he gets up and he eats, and he goes for 40 days and 40 nights on a journey to the mountain where God gave the law to Moses. So he gets to the mountain, and God says to Elijah, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And Elijah says to God, "I've been very zealous for you, Lord, and I have done all that you asked of me and have gotten rid of all these false prophets, and yet they are still seeking to take my life. After all, many in Israel were still trying to kill him." It is just like one of us saying to God, "Lord, I have worked hard. I had a good job. I raised my kids well. I had a nice house. I paid my bills. And yet I am unhappy. I am lost." And there can be a lot of things in our lives and other people's lives that lead them into this kind of despair, into this wilderness. A death in the family, the breakup of a marriage, the loss of a job, or we can simply turn on the news some days and notice the state of the world in which we seem to live. But Elijah goes, and he stands on the mountain where one encounters God. So Elijah is there on the mountain, and there is a great wind that passes by that splits rocks, but we are told the Lord is not in the wind. And after the wind, there is a great earthquake, but the Lord, we are told, was not in that earthquake. And after the earthquake, a great fire. Again, we are told the Lord is not in the fire. And after the fire comes the sound of sheer, utter and complete silence. I suspect most of us don't even know what this means. No background noise, no rustling trees, no chirping birds, no car in the distance, no fan, no running appliance, but complete and utter silence. And here in the silence, Elijah hears a voice, the voice of God, which tells Elijah to go back through the wilderness to complete the mission to Israel that he was called to do. Now, how do we hear God's voice in the silence? How do we hear God when we are in the wilderness? When we are searching for God, how do we know that he is there? Firstly, I will say that God will come to us at the most unexpected of times and in the most unexpected of ways. God will speak to us in our lives, both when we are lost, but also when things seem to be going well, and our jobs as Christians, as people of God, is to learn how to listen. One way to do this is to develop our prayer lives. Most of us really don't know how to pray. We don't know how to listen to God. When we hear the word prayer, we think about us talking to God. But I will suggest to you today that most of what prayer should be is listening to God. Taking time each and every day to listen to God in the silence of our hearts. And this is a spiritual practice that cannot be developed overnight, but something that is developed over time. Another place where we can encounter God and listen to God and hear what he is saying to us is in the scriptures, in the Bible. When we read the Bible, do we even read the Bible? When we read the Bible, do we read it like we are reading a newspaper, or do we absorb it? Do we wrestle with it? Do we skip over the tough parts, or do we let it sit with us and hear what God is saying to us? Do we give it the time that it deserves? I would exhort you to develop these two practices in your Christian life in order to try and listen to God. In many ways, we are all a bunch of pretenders and fakers, lost in the wilderness, trying to conform to the standards of our society, trying to fit in with what society tells us is right and what our standards should be, trying to find our identities in this world. But if we take time to listen to God and to develop this practice, we will find that something will happen. God will speak, and when we listen to God, we will find that we don't need to be a bunch of pretenders and fakers lost in the wilderness anymore, because our identity is not found in this world, but found in Christ, the one we don't have to pretend for. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, tells us today in his very famous passage, "For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as been baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." So what Paul is saying in this passage is simply this. It does not matter what your lot is in life. What matters is that through baptism, you belong to Christ, and your identity is now in Christ, not the categories or divisions of this world. Paul is saying, as Christians, we no longer need to fake it until we make it, because we have made it in Christ. None of the divisions of this world matter. This world is not our identity, but rather our identity is found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So my brothers and sisters, we have one life and two choices. The first is we can keep being fakers and pretenders who are lost in the wilderness and trying to fake it until we make it. Or we can do the slow, hard work of listening to God and coming to the point where we acknowledge we can't make it ourselves. So we say to God, "Take it." And believe me, when we give everything to God, give ourselves over to God, He will make it into a wonderful thing, and it will be more than we can ever ask or imagine. Amen.